Hi everyone, welcome to our daily devotionals. So glad that you're joining us today. Today we're going to be reading 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 5 to 11. But before we read this passage, I want to give a quick recap of what we talked about yesterday, because Peter's train of thought is continuing on from yesterday's passage. And so yesterday we talked about how God's divine power has granted us to become partakers of his divine nature, specifically his righteousness, his abundant grace and peace, and his power. His divine power gives us a divine nature. And this is kind of where this is where Peter has left off in his train of thought. And so let's read verses 5 to 11. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, so once again, Peter had just talked about how God's divine power gives us a divine nature. He's encouraging believers and believers today that we have not just merely a human nature, but we have a divine nature, a godly nature, a nature that reflects God himself. And when we are in the presence of God, when we put our faith in Jesus, we have been given God's righteousness. God's abundant grace and peace is filling us up inside, and his power helps us to no longer give in to the threat of temptation, but to pursue a life of godliness and all things that pertain to life and goodness. And so now in our passage today, Peter continues his thought by saying, for this very reason, because we have a divine nature that reflects our divine God. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with seven things. He brings up seven things in this passage. He says, supplement your faith with virtue, which is goodness, anything that is good, anything that is right, that is virtue. Supplement your faith with virtue, knowledge. He's not talking here about intellectual knowledge of anything and everything. He's talking specifically about knowledge of God. Grow in the knowledge of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Third thing he says is self-control. This can be everything from the way that we interact with other people, the way that we deal with sin, and the way that we strive to live a life of godliness. Fourth is steadfastness. Steadfastness can also be perseverance. It's enduring in the faith. It's pressing on in this race that is set before us. The fifth thing that Peter brings up is godliness. Godliness is growing in a manner that honors God. It's a manner of living a life that is according to God's will. It's pursuing holiness. That's what godliness is. The sixth thing is brotherly affection. Brotherly affection and love are kind of go hand in hand, but it's talking about a kind of love and mutual respect and honor that we give to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so these are the seven things that Peter talks about on how we should supplement our faith. Supplement your faith with virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection and love. In our culture and society, we praise and we pursue after these qualities more than faith. Sometimes we'll say, you know, pursue knowledge. Pursue knowledge and pursue, you know, goodness and virtue and pursue justice, social justice. You know, pursue, you know, you just have to love people. But a lot of times these things come before our faith in Christ. But I want to encourage you and remind you that what is the most important factor in our relationship with God is our faith in Jesus. And so that's where he starts off with. He says, supplement your faith, not supplement your knowledge first with these other things, but he says, supplement first your faith with XYZ. And so these qualities are an overflow of our faith in Jesus. And so I want to ask you today, what would it look like for you to place your faith in Jesus today? What would it look like to trust God with your work, with your studies, with your next steps in life, with your next chapter in life? If you just graduated, you know, what would it look like to trust God with your post-grad plans? If you're in a period of transition with your job, what would it look like to trust in God with that? And when we continue to think about our faith in Jesus, he says to supplement that faith with these things. You know, one pastor put it like this: our lives are like a recipe. You know, the difference is that there are no secret ingredients. It begins with a faith in Jesus Christ. Peter, a follower of Jesus and one of the leaders of the church, gave us some ingredients for an even better and more fulfilling life in Christ. And so here's his recipe for an effective and productive life that is in line with God's will. He says, begin with a personal relationship with Jesus. Place your faith in Christ. And then add goodness and an equal amount of knowledge. Stir in self-control and perseverance. Combine with godliness and a pinch of mutual affection. And mix thoroughly and bake with an abundance of love. Faith is foundational and is so crucial to our walk with the Lord. But what we read in this passage is that if we want our lives to be effective and fruitful, we need to supplement our faith with these qualities. And so how are you doing in these areas? Are you living a life of goodness and godliness? Have you been growing in the knowledge of God through his word, through prayer, just spending time with the Lord? Have you been growing in self-control, in the ways that you treat your brothers and sisters in Christ, in the way that you respond to your spouse? Have you been growing in steadfastness and faith, persevering in the faith, even when people don't see eye to eye on your faith and your religion, even when your family members or your friends might test your faith? Are you being steadfast and persevering through it? And have you been growing in a love for God and for your brothers and sisters in Christ? The reality is that all of us have many, many areas that we can grow in. We can grow in all of these areas, and we can continue to really strive to live in such a way that is effective and fruitful for the kingdom of God. God doesn't expect us to become instantly perfect in these qualities, but he does tell us in verse 8 that we can possess these qualities in increasing measure. When we put our hearts and our minds and our lives, our bodies, devoted to following Jesus, then we can grow in these qualities in increasing measure. And not only can we grow in these qualities, but they also keep us from being ineffective and unfruitful. You know, a lot of times, there are different moments throughout the New Testament where the apostles will address believers who are spiritually idle. And I think these spiritually idle believers have ceased to supplement their faith with these qualities. And they have become ineffective and unfruitful in the kingdom of God. And what Peter is trying to tell us here is to not be spiritually idle. Don't be spiritually idle, but continue to grow in these qualities. Increase these qualities in your life, and you will not be ineffective and unfruitful. Growing in these areas because of our relationship with Jesus leads to a productive life. And I know that I've been using these words, productive and fruitful and effective. But what does it really mean for us to have a life that is effective and fruitful? You know, one way that the world might interpret this is that it's a successful life. It's a life where you're making a lot of money. It's a life where you're able to influence a lot of people on social media, how many followers you have. You know, there are different ways that the world will dictate what it looks like to have an effective and fruitful and productive life. But in terms of God, God dictates a fruitful and effective life when your life is in line with God's will. When your life is doing the will of God, it's following Jesus and his lifestyle. And when we continue to grow in these qualities, we will come to know that these qualities are the evidence of your calling and election. You know, when we read verse 10, some of us might receive this as kind of, you know, condemning and a bit daunting. It says, "Brothers and sisters, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall." And I think in our modern day culture, it's very hard to understand verse 10, what it means to confirm your calling and election. But what Peter is trying to get at here is he's not saying that, you know, try to earn your salvation, but he's confirming that they have been saved, but these qualities, as we grow in love and affection and steadfastness and self-control and knowledge and godliness, virtue, these things will be evidence of your calling and election. They will encourage you, and it'll be proof that you are a child of God, that you are a genuine follower of Jesus Christ. And so practice them. Be intentional about supplementing your faith with these things, with virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. What would it look like for you to take this step to supplement your faith in these ways? And so, let me just close with a question. You know, which characteristic in this list of seven qualities is an area in which God wants to help you grow? You know, what is one way you have grown in your relationship with Jesus since you started following him? And how can you continue to grow and increase these qualities in your life today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us yesterday, God, that we have a divine nature. We have a divine nature, Lord, of your righteousness. We are righteous before you, not because we ourselves are righteous, but because of Christ's righteousness. Lord, thank you, God, that we have a divine nature of your abundant grace and peace. And we have a divine nature of your power that shields us from the threat of temptation and helps us to pursue a life of godliness. And Lord, I pray, God, for my brothers and sisters. God, I pray for anyone who's listening right now. God, that you would help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to supplement our faith with these qualities. Help us, God, to grow in virtue, to grow in godliness, to grow in the knowledge of who you are, to grow in self-control and steadfastness and brotherly affection and love. Father, I pray that our lives would be effective and fruitful in advancing, God, your kingdom. I pray, Lord, that as we continue to grow in these qualities, that we would also be encouraged, God, to know, Lord, that our calling and election has been made sure because of the righteousness of Christ, because of the work of Jesus on the cross. And so, Lord, I just thank you, God, for all the ways that you have been working in our lives. Continue, God, to mold us and transform us from one degree of glory to another, that we might be more like Christ in all that we do today. We pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen.